This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about I'm qualified. Everybody say it, I'm qualified. Say it again. I'm going to tell you what you're qualified for. Amen. And because you're qualified, by the Lord, nobody can disqualify you. Glory to God. You can't be disqualified. Amen. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. Now, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and were traveling through on their way to the promised land. And you know, they had some roadblocks there. Some things came up. You know, and they wasn't able to go in, not all of them. But Moses is having a conversation with the Lord here, and he prays for God's presence. Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest to me, bring up this people that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is what the Lord told Moses. I know you. I know your name. And you found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people. So he's saying, prove it. Show it to me. Show me beyond any shadow of a doubt that I found grace in your sight and that we are your people. Amen. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Now, I want to say this to everybody here, and specifically to all these young people here, that sometimes we think that God is so far away, and I want to tell you that he's really so close. Amen. And that when he gives you a promise, he never, ever breaks his word. Not ever. He doesn't ever break his promise. Amen. Because he's a faithful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And God has never told a single lie. He's never told not one. He's never told one lie, not one. So you can always depend on him to do for you exactly what he said he's going to do. To do for you, to do through you, to do to you. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. So he tells Moses, he gives Moses his He gives Moses his word. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going. Amen. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. But he said to him, if your presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. He's basically saying, if you don't go with us, we ain't going. If you don't go with me, If you won't be with me, I ain't going. I ain't going nowhere without you. And this is the mindset that you have to have if you're really going to serve God with a pure heart, is that you're not going to do anything without him. That you're not going to live your life independent of God, but you're going to live your life dependent upon God. Amen. And so whatever God's done in your life, then we can say that that's not just something that he did for one time. You know, if he set you free, that don't mean you just set free for a day. That freedom is forever through the blood of Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean truly free. And the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus is permanent. It's everlasting. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, says that Jesus didn't enter into the holy place, the holiest, with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood he entered in, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Another translation says a permanent deliverance, an everlasting release. He offered his blood as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can live in freedom and live in the presence of God. Glory to God. Thank God for it. Say, Lord, if you don't go, I ain't going. Now, sometimes we're tempted to go places that we ain't got no business going. If the Lord won't go with you in a place like that, then you shouldn't be going. I'm talking about his presence now, because we know that God is everywhere present, but we're talking about his tangible presence, amen, that awareness, that consciousness of him being in your life, that you know that there are certain things that God don't want you participating in. There are certain places he don't want you to go. There are certain things he don't want you to do, amen. There are certain things he don't want you to say or to even spend time thinking about. If I can't go there with the Lord, then I just ain't going to go. Hallelujah. In other words, if I can't invite Jesus to do what I'm doing, then I'm probably doing the wrong thing. So whatever you're doing in life, you ought to be able to say, come on, Jesus, let's do this together. And if you can't invite him into what you're doing, then you know that you're doing something that's probably not pleasing to God. Now, let's keep on reading here. If your presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and this people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? He said, there'll be one thing that distinguishes us from all the other people on the earth is that we have your presence in our life. We have your manifested presence in our life, and that is what causes us to be separated. See, when God talks to you about separation, it's for his glory. It's so that he can manifest his glory in you and through you to greater degrees. Hallelujah. So that the Lord is fully glorified by everything that you do. Praise God. So we thank God that we've been made separate by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Now, look at the next verse right here. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You see, Moses is having a conversation with the Lord, and this is what we call prayer. See, prayer is not just you just telling God everything and then running off somewhere. But real prayer is a dialogue. It is you talking to him and him talking back to you. That's why I say read and then be quiet. Pray and praise God, then, you know, get quiet. Worship God, then get quiet. Pray and then get quiet. Go serve somebody, help somebody, then get quiet again because he may want to talk to you some more. Amen. How many of you know the Lord want to talk to you? Boy, I'll tell you, he won't talk to you more than you want to talk to him. I'll guarantee that. That his desire for you is so overwhelming that your desire for him don't even compute. How much he really loves you, how much he cares about you, and how much he really wants you to know him. Moses is saying, I want to know you. Hallelujah. Then he asked the Lord to do something else. He said, I beseech thee. In other words, he said, I'm begging you. Show me your glory. That's a good prayer for you to pray. Because once you experience the glory of God, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing on this world like it. And you'll stop settling for counterfeits when you really see the glory of God. When you start experiencing the glory of God, then there's a light that comes in you, amen, because his glory is manifested in three primary ways. Everybody say three primary ways. So when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about God's goodness. In other words, you'll be able to see, when he says, show me your glory, the Lord said, I'm going to show you my goodness. So the goodness of God is a manifestation of his glory. So three ways, his goodness, his presence, and his power. And when you get all three of them working together, when you got God's presence and you got God's goodness there, of him wanting to do good for you because he is good, and then you got power or ability or strength and might, I'm going to tell you, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? She said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sound like the resurrection. That sound like Jesus, don't it? That sound like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old, the best of the new.
The best variety in music.
Man, great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I'd like to call your attention to St. John chapter 15 and the last two verses of that chapter. I have preached the whole month out of this 15th chapter. Verse 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." Yeah. Verse 27 says, "And ye also shall bear witness." And then he says, "Because ye have been with me from the beginning." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his Holy Word. Jesus is concluding this discourse to the disciples, again in preparation of his exiting from planet Earth not long from now. And he wants to make sure that they are clear about commandments and principles and doctrines that he has shared with them. One of the things that makes this so important for the disciples is he gives them the acknowledgement of being with him from the beginning, which makes them worthy witnesses of the work and ministry that he has done here on planet Earth in their presence. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that is so important as you look at this last verse when he says, "And ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning," gives them equity in his ministry, not only just visualizing it, but experiencing it as well. And one of the things that I think is so helpful is it is not only preparing them to continue their walk and continue the ministry Jesus has imparted in them, but it's also preparing them for the world that they're going to have to be the witness of Jesus Christ in. In other words, he's getting them ready for a hostile jury. He's getting them ready for a hostile opponent or opponents or those who come against the reality of what Jesus stood for and stands for. He's getting them ready because he's going back to the Father to be with him, and he has transferred his trend of thought into their thinking so that they are equipped to continue until he comes back to rapture the church and take the church back home with him. And so, my brothers and sisters, he's using words like witness and testifying. These are words out of the arena of jurisprudence because he wants them to understand beyond the physical, there is a spiritual reality that they also must recognize. One of the things you too, my brothers and sisters, must realize is that the Lord is looking for witnesses here, because the enemy who is here is trying to remove all traces and evidences of the Lord Jesus Christ and the living work that yet goes on by way of Calvary and the souls that are saved daily, because he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And that same power is real today, because witnesses are still lifting him up. Jesus said, listen, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." What was he saying? He's saying, I'm including and incorporating the Holy Spirit into your lives so that your witness will be both pure and passionate and powerful. In other words, when you talk about Jesus, there ought to be some conviction. You ain't talking about Jesus like he's just anybody, somebody. He's everything to the believer, and the believer want to be a willing, worthy witness. In other words, something is wrong when you talk about Jesus and you don't feel nothing. If there's ever an issue, a situation, an occasion where Jesus needs a witness, you ought to be volunteering to be the witness who can identify what he's done for you and what he's done for you no one else but him could have done. And you can testify, "I used to be this, and I used to be that, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, but he touched me and changed me and rearranged me, and I'm no longer the same because he touched me." Anybody been touched? Some of y'all know you've been changed. And I ain't talking about just because you can't do what you used to do. You've been changed because you don't even want to do it no more. You've been changed. You know you've been changed. It ain't even in your heart no more. It ain't even in your thoughts no more. It doesn't even bother you anymore, because the Lord changed you from the inside. And so he need witnesses, because there's some folk burdened down, bothered, who are still engaged in depressions and oppressions and don't think that the chains can ever be broken. But there ought to be witnesses who can tell them, "Here I am. Grace broke every chain on me, and I'm no longer the same." And so Jesus is saying, "You will be my witnesses because you've been with me from the beginning." But what I love about this is, before he got to the 27th verse, that was the 26th verse. And he says, "But when the Comforter is come," talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy One of God, the Spirit of God, he says, "whom I will send from unto you from the Father," which at that point in time, the Holy Spirit was still residing with God in the heavens. He had not been dispatched to be on earth to serve the term as the last agent of the triune God yet. And so he was still with the Father. So Jesus says, "whom I will send unto you from the Father." Now, those of you who are Bible students know, when Jesus died on Friday and was buried and rose early that Sunday morning. He walked among planet Earth for 40 days, caught a cloud, and went back to heaven. And 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost down. And that's why they call it the Day of Jubilee, because in that 50th day, the Holy Ghost came down. And Jesus had promised he would send him. And he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. He is the divine Spirit of truth, whom Jesus Christ says he will send to us and has already done. But here is why he says the Spirit of truth, because he wants you to know that he is the highest form and expression of truth that God could send to the earth realm to be in man and to dwell with man, because he is the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God in truth. There's none higher that Jesus sends to us to bear truth. And so listen to what he says. He says, which proceedeth from the Father. Now, he keeps emphasizing this because he wants you to know how worthy of a witness the Holy Ghost is. And notice what he says, he shall testify of me. Now, notice the believers are witnesses, but the Holy Ghost is a testifier. He's giving a testimony about who Jesus is. Why is he letting the Holy Ghost testify? Because he was there in the real beginning. In the beginning, before there was a beginning, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and the Father were together. So if there's anybody who knows him inside out, who knows him from the real beginning, before the beginning was, it's the Holy Ghost. And if anybody can testify about Jesus and who Jesus truly is and what Jesus truly can do, it is the Holy Ghost. And that's one of the reasons why, my brothers and sisters, the believers need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, to have the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, to be able to do everything that the Holy Ghost needs to do through us for the purpose of Jesus and edifying the works of Jesus in this earth realm. You can't do it without Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost will take the weakest man in the house and turn the house upside down. No education, no seminary training, no ability to speak in polysyllabics, no great orator, but oh, with the power of the Holy Ghost and the rhema word from God, he can reach places that none other can reach. And that's why he says the Holy Ghost is going to testify of me. You see, you can't testify of him. You can only be a witness of what he's done. You can only tell about what he's done for you. And that's one of the reasons why your witness is so important for you, and my witness is so important for me, and your witness and everybody's witness individually is important to them, because he's done some things for you that he didn't have to do for me. Have I got a witness in the house? He's made a way for you that I didn't need, because I didn't go the path that you went. Have I got a witness in the house? He's picked somebody up that fell down and couldn't get down, and Jesus lifted them up
to a place that they never could have been if he hadn't put his hands on them. Can I get somebody in the house who can witness for me?